the rest of the story. It was bound to happen, folks whispered scornfully behind cupped hands. Frances had always been mannish in her manner, even insisted on being addressed as Frank instead of Frances Elizabeth. Well, anyway, it was 1893, that's more than 100 years ago, that one of Frank's social activist friends introduced her to Gladys. And so began the international scandal, which would, some insisted, by its sordid example, plunge a generation of women into habitual immorality. But this is the rest of the story. 'Twas an irony often spoken of that Frank was born to strict Methodist parents in a place called Churchville in western New York. But all of the attempted strictness and symbolic nomenclature was insufficient to restrain this willful and aggressive girl. By her own description, she ran wild, impervious to conventional preconceptions of womanhood. Cooking and cleaning, needlework and the like, were brashly shunned in favor of roaming the hills and hunting with guns and... As if to underscore her contempt for a world that demanded femininity of women, Frank cut and kept her hair shorter than most men's. The tomboy grew up, but never grew out of it, never into the prissy, perfumey role society urged her to play. Instead, she became educated, which women of her day often did not, then became a teacher and a social reformer. Her radical politics shocked conformists on two continents. She traveled widely, lecturing, organizing activists throughout America. She joined the Fabian Socialists in England, and it was there that she met Gladys. Frank was 53 by then, but not too old to begin a love affair that would last the rest of her life. Returning stateside in 1894, Frank brought Gladys with her. They were seldom seen apart. Frank even wrote a tell-all book about how they became acquainted and the wonderful alternative lifestyle to which Gladys had introduced her. A good many people thought that I could not do it at my age, she confessed. And yet Gladys was, she emoted, a teacher without pulpit or creed, and all Frank had learned therefrom, she eagerly passed along to any woman who would listen. Well, once upon an infinitely more modest time, there was a social provocateur whose name you may recognize, Frances Elizabeth Willard, the ardent feminist, founder and first president of the Women's Christian Temperance Union, who admitted that her work was aimed more toward the liberation of women than toward the extinction of the saloon. But now, whenever you hear of her daring social accomplishments, or perhaps even pass a suburban grammar school named Willard, you will reflect on the scandalous love affair to which she shamelessly confessed more than 100 years ago. Her relationship with a machine she named Gladys, which her critics harshly admonished leads to immorality in women, an innocent-looking contraption presented to her by Lady Somerset as a means of restoring and maintaining her health, a passion Frances Willard publicly promoted in a shocking text originally published as A Wheel Within a Wheel. Later it was retitled How I Learned to Ride the Bicycle. Gladys was a bicycle? Gladys was a bicycle. And now you know... The rest of the story.